Gunfire on the 410 this morning. Two people in a car hit by bullets. One of them died. Whenever there's gun violence in Toronto, we go to the mayor. We say, hey, what are you doing about this? That's why we then went to the mayor of Brampton this afternoon. Patrick Brown is hearing this is spillover from Toronto.
We're being told this is once again gang activity, targeted shootings. And frankly, in particular, it's Toronto gang activity that has spilled over into the suburb.
Brown says several years ago when the province announced its guns and gangs funding would go solely to Toronto and Ottawa, Brampton said, what about us? We've got a problem too, and it's only going to get worse. The government is now offering funding to other communities as well, but he says, let's get those checks in the mail already.
They had an announcement about 3 weeks ago saying that we would now be eligible for that funding. They were going to create a structure in which we could apply, and that's after years of petitioning for this funding. Now that they've made a commitment that it's going to become available, my message is going to be to them, speed it up.
And let's do our first check-in with the campaign trail because Liberal leader Justin Trudeau is promising to announce new gun control measures before the October 21st election. But when asked today what they are, in light of the deadly gun battle we saw in Mississauga over the weekend and this shooting on the 410, he offered this.
We made promises in 2015 on strengthening gun control because the reality, as we're seeing in Mississauga and elsewhere around the country, is far too many communities and families are facing terrible tragedies because of gun violence. And it is really important that a government show leadership on that.
When it comes to Mississauga, a 17-year-old was gunned down, four teenagers, a woman in her 50s, also injured during the attack. Police are looking for seven suspects in connection with that case. Looks like it involved the filming of a rap video of some sort of reprisal. But we talk so often about the city and the gun violence and the updates from the chief and the mayor, that here we have Mississauga and we have Brampton dealing with the same sorts of things.
Sure.
Just blatant out there, bullets flying in the street, no concern for anybody else.
Do you get the sense, I mean, the leaders would have been well prepared for this, at least to answer the questions today, the Prime Minister specifically, because he's the one in government. Do you get the sense that they adequately answered these questions, or did they give us more of the same mumbo-jumbo we're used to hearing about this?
I think he dropped the ball because it's a perfect opportunity to almost go to Mississauga or to Brampton and say, now here's my plan. I know what it all comes down to. They have everything laid out exactly when they're going to make these announcements based on what the analysts are telling me are the best possible time to reveal your plan to combat gun violence. And that's what held him off.
He was in Mississauga yesterday.
Yeah, like
this shooting happened on Saturday, right?
You know, is that not the perfect opportunity, even this morning, just to stand nearby the scene and say, you know, we have to fix this and here's what we're going to do. Obviously, he decided not to take it because there's the answer you had from 2015.
Yeah, because I would have assumed he would have spent more time talking to community leaders in the wake of that shooting on Saturday and less time with a famous tennis player.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's, as I said, there's so much that goes into this now to politics and so many different people advising on when to announce what and when and where and when it'll get the most traction. We can't even fathom the amount that goes into that.
Yeah, it's just sad. I mean, it's an absolutely sad story. You got this young man who loses his life. And
interesting to hear from Brampton to say this is street gang violence from Toronto that's spilling over into the GTA.
Well, and you've got to remember, when we tore down a lot of what used to be the housing projects in the city, a lot of these people were dispersed to areas like Brampton. You got to keep that top of mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, what did you think was going to happen? That the gangs weren't going to come with everyone else?
Absolutely. You know, as they said, it's not like this gun violence knows any sort of postal code.
Yeah, they're like, oh wait a minute,
no.
I can't shoot you. I'm in Brampton right now.
No, I won't do that.
I gotta wait till I get back to Regent Park.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not how it works. Yeah. You're right. They don't know a postal code. This was the big story of the day today.
Yeah, this is interesting. So Toronto's Medical Officer of Health has a report on the way. It's going to come out in a week. It's going to focus on vaccine hesitancy. A nice way of saying that. That's where parents spend too much time online and put more stock in what actress Jenny McCarthy has to say, as opposed to, oh, I don't know, a doctor or a scientist. What do they know? Toronto Public Health has developed a comprehensive strategy that involves healthcare providers, parents, students, educators, government agencies. But here's what stood out for us. It wants the Ministry of Health to consider removing philosophical and religious exemptions under the Immunization of School Pupils Act.
In the U.S., people with what we call non-medical exemptions, or these kind of belief-based exemptions, have risen to the point where in some states the exemption rates were more than 10%, and they then became pockets of under-vaccinated places, and things like measles began to spread.
Now, we're seeing an increase here. Numbers not nearly as high as that, but the number of people requesting those exemptions in Toronto has more than doubled over the past decade. So they're just fearful that they're seeing that slow crawl upwards, and they want to try to stop it. Also, public health is requesting that major search engines, social media companies, Facebook, Google, Instagram, adopt measures to reduce misinformation about vaccines on their platforms. Now, we contacted some religious organizations today, wanted to get their reaction. I can think of a few that you think that would be very much against it. No answers yet. But Google did send us a statement about that aspect of misinformation. Providing our users with trustworthy information is core to our mission as a company. We've taken a number of steps to curb medical misinformation across our products, including better ranking algorithms in search and more authoritative content for people searching for vaccination-related topics on YouTube. Misinformation on medical topics is especially concerning. We know our work in this area is not done, and we'll continue to improve our products.
Huh. Yeah, it's not, listen, it's not shocking. We've been talking about this a little bit. It's not shocking if you give people an out that a lot of people are going to exploit that out and take it. What is shocking is that the misinformation continues and there's an audience for it that sucks it up.
I don't believe it sometimes. I mean, just call it for what it is. They're just, I don't know, they're just some dumb people out there that they are, let's put it this way, they're like sponges that just take in everything and think it's all truthful. I mean, we talk about this with politics and so many aspects of news and information. Mm-hmm. You have to vet it six different ways and then decide, okay, the truth seems to be right here from what I can tell from these various sources. But to watch somebody on YouTube and think that is gospel, it blows my mind.
And is the key to that is no longer accessing healthcare or education? Does there have to be a penalty or else people will just continue to do that?
I think so. I think that's what they'd really like to see the ministry to say. I mean, we've seen that with the boards, right? If you don't have your immunization up to date,
yeah,
your child cannot come to school. And actually, in the city, it was 6%. I think it was last year in the city, it was over 20,000 kids who were not properly immunized.
Wow.
Now, here's the truth. The majority of that is mistakes when it comes to record keeping and passing along that. But they said this much. They said they all went out for the ones that didn't have their immunizations. They went out immediately and got them done so that their kids could go to school. So to your point, yeah, that works.
That almost needs to be the thing that has to happen.
But the other part of it is if you're giving people these kind of passes, they don't need to have those records up to date because they've got a pass on it. But as one caller pointed out, how do you know the difference between a kid who's immunized and one that isn't? Right? You know, the one that got a pass isn't going to advertise that. Mom and dad aren't going to, as you say, put a shirt on that says, I got immunized or I didn't get immunized. So chances are your kid's playing right next to that kid.
Yeah. And you've gone to all that trouble and you have your concerns and what we've seen with measles in some communities, as they even reference that it's become an issue in some places.
Yeah. And listen, the vaccination isn't going to withstand the non-herd mentality or the non-herd immunization. A lot of the times you can have a situation where somebody even, they got vaccinated and they still get sick.
And they're hoping to get the kids early now. What they're hoping is that they're even talking about promotional campaigns, so to speak, in school, that as these kids grow up, they understand the value of vaccines, for goodness sake.
I'm telling you, Polio Island, that's what we should do.
You're all going to the island.
That's where your school is going to be. That's where your hospitals are. You enjoy Polio Island.
See how that works for the Department of Tourism. That's an uphill climb.
Come to Polio Island, where we don't believe in vaccines at all. What's going on in the world of education?
Yeah, school supports, there's no surprise to this. School support staff voted 93% in favor of a strike. Doesn't mean one's happening. 55,000 QP members will be in a legal strike position end of this month, September 30th. Union says it intends to continue bargaining with the government, hopes to avoid a strike, that QP education workers are ready to stand up for the services they provide. And if it takes job action to defend high-quality, well-supported, well-rounded public education, then QP education workers are ready. Also, a few comments about standing up for students, which I can never actually read without wanting to throw up. We all know that's Caca del Toro. But at least we have the strike vote. It's done. It's 93%. Now the threats will continue, and hopefully they'll work something out before it gets to that point.
Well, now the clock is ticking. I mean, you've got a line in the sand to know when that date is. Do you think that's going to make the talks go better or worse?
I don't often see where it's the exact date. It's just sort of, okay, that's where we're in the position. They might ramp it up around that time if they're not close. We see this every time.
For me, I just don't understand how this can be beneficial to conversations that are being had to try to reach an agreement.
I don't think it, I've never felt it is, but they might have a different opinion on maybe this is the ammo they need to force the province to shift a little bit in some areas. But I agree with you. It's not a sign of good faith.
No, it feels like they're not putting the gun to the province's head, but these are bullets that are being put in the gun.
Yeah, it's an open arms situation. You're wearing it in a holster on their hip.
Yeah. It's good. I think we've done all of the gun. Yeah.
They're spinning the chamber and clicking it to their fort. No,
the safety's on.
Let's talk a little bit more about this crash.
Yeah, I wasn't around for this, but I remember reading about it. It was almost a month ago. 8 vehicles involved in a fiery crash. This was on the QEW near Trafalgar. 7 people injured. And after this is what really stood out about this story. They thought, okay, we have all these injured individuals. There's a big fire. After they put out the fire, they find another victim. They find a body among the scorched wreckage. A 34-year-old woman from Niagara Falls had died. Now, the OPP announcing charges in today in connection with this accident. And yeah, once again, transport truck driver.
The OPP arrested and charged Mohammed Hasnai Raza, age 34, from Mississauga, with causing death by criminal negligence and dangerous operation causing death.
7,700 crashes in the province last year involved transport trucks, 4-year high. Truck drivers responsible for more than half of them. Improper lane changes, following too closely. Those are the big issues. And this is the part sometimes where we get feedback, where you get these truckers. Like, you're always picking on truckers, but we just see it. Here's another example. Heck, there was a dump truck crash today. Caved in a car, Brimley and Shepherd region. Somebody in his 20s, seriously injured. It's a dump truck. We don't know that the dump truck's to blame. Of course, that person could have cut in front of a million different things. But it's amazing how often we hear about these accidents. And here's the thing, too, is it's the people in the truck are doing all the damage. They're fine at the end of it.
Away a lot.
Exactly. And there's issues here.
Yeah, and we still have to look at the licensing. You know, I've heard from truckers out there, and there are great ones out there that will tell you, listen, the door is way too open. The licensing isn't as stringent and as strict as it should be. And people are still getting licenses that have no business being behind the wheel of a truck.
Yeah, and we're not the only ones, tooting that horn, sounding the alarm, because the OPP almost 2-3 times a year sends out a news release to say, we're still seeing this.
Yep.
Truckers are still an issue. You guys got to be careful. You're in these giant 60,000-pound vehicles. That's dangerous.
Let's talk a little bit about Lotto Max, Supermax, Maxime.
we'll return to the federal campaign trail. And Maxime Bernier, leader of the new People's Party of Canada, has been invited to the government-sanctioned federal debates. A spokesperson for the debate says, based on their evaluation, organizers are satisfied more than one candidate endorsed by the party has a reasonable chance to be elected. Bernier says he's very, very pleased with the decision.
And I can tell you that the People's Party is a real national party with serious reforms that needs to be done for a freer and a more prosperous country.
Green Party leader Elizabeth May, she's dealt with this very thing in the past. She was asked about this during an appearance on the Evan Solomon Show.
Well, I think it's good because we have criteria and they're applied fairly. That's what I've always been fighting for leaders' debates. That there be some fairness.
And we are carrying the English federal debate. We're going to carry it live. Coverage starts at 6:30, and that's on October 7th.
Yeah, we get the pregame.
Pregame.
We're going to do a little pregame.
Want to do a little barbecue?
Sure.
Yeah. Jay and I did a barbecue yesterday. You can hear all about it in our podcast called
right.
Snack.
Nice.
All awesome. The sordid details of that event yesterday. But yeah, it should be a great night. Looking forward to that debate. Not sure I love the fact that he's in it, but... what are you going to do?
We could do all that whole, that's a debate. See, I know we're to traffic time, but it's the whole debate I have is I love that we have this sort of commission that decides about democracy. I mean, for me, it is, you want to run, you run, you get a chance to speak to the people. And now we debate, okay, well, what are their ideas or what are they presenting?
True.
Do they have a chance of winning? But that's not what it's about. If you're running, you should have a chance to debate the individuals running against you.
All right. Fair enough. Dave McKee. Captain Democracy. More with him and his views on the news in moments.
6:15.
Ryan Ajay here on The Rush. Dave McKee is here with his views on the news. What's going on with the commissioner of the RCMP?
Well, she says they are assessing and they are trying to mitigate the possible damage that may have been caused by one of their senior intelligence officials. Brenda Lucky writes the Mounties have been shaken by last week's arrest of 47-year-old Cameron J. Ortiz. He allegedly tried to disclose classified information to a foreign entity or terrorist group. Lucky says the calls for she calls the allegations unsettling. Of course they are, and that's if they're true, and confirms that Ortiz was the director general of the RCMP's National Intelligence Coordination Center. Been working with the Mounties for 12 years. Ortiz had access to domestic and international intelligence, including information that came from our allies. Now, Global News is reporting this involved encrypted communication service Phantom Secure. Before it was dismantled, it sold untraceable smartphones to criminals so they could evade police. What a wonderful business. Sensitive RCMP information.
Mom and pop,
yeah, you know,
cottage industry.
How can we make money off this? So, and since really the deal is that maybe he or others were offering sensitive RCMP information up for sale. There was just an aspect of who's the highest bidder. I can sell some stuff here because I've worked. I work at the National Intelligence Corps. I run the National Intelligence Coordination Center.
Wow.
Yeah, it's.
Well, I mean, if the allegations are true, that's textbook treason, no?
Yeah, absolutely. And we look like dirt. There's just another black eye on the international stage if we're if someone was selling information that was coming from our allies.
Tell me more about these phones. They're untraceable phones? Industry?
I've never really read too much up on Phantom Secure, but I think it was basically they're two phones that are in some way linked together.
Yeah.
And that's it. There's no. You're not playing Bejeweled on those with
it's
your,
like
with
you've
your
got
buddy.
It's like you've got a walkie-talkie that's got one channel
yeah,
on
almost,
it.
And they communicate with each other, and that's it. That's their only
encrypted.
Purpose. It's all encrypted.
Wow.
Nobody can, you know, they're just burner phones almost.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we still don't know who the other side was, right?
No. Okay. And this is going to come out in dribs and drabs. Watch, over the coming weeks, it is somebody else get a little something else, some other source will feel confident enough to release this, and then we'll bring it to you.
Because there was speculation that it might be China, but that's
yeah,
that's all we
yeah.
have now is just
it certainly
speculation.
Is contacts with the East.
What's going on with pets?
Yeah, you return home, you find your dog on the couch, that glazed over look, snacking on milk bones and laughing at Scooby-Doo bloopers. Apparently stoned dogs... It's a thing. It's an issue now. Since legalization, vets are seeing an increase in pets consuming Jeez. Cannabis, mostly dogs. Now, we spoke to Grey Wolf Animal Health in Toronto to find out why.
People are either trying to use the products for medical purposes and are using them inappropriately, or in most of the cases, or certainly majority of the cases, what seems to be happening is that people aren't realizing that if they take a very high THC product, let's say like an oil, and they are baking at home, so they're placing it in something like a brownie or a cookie. If those products contain large amounts of dark chocolate, it's actually those components that are very, very toxic to animals.
I guess it's really not so much about the weed, it's always the chocolate, right? So
yeah.
pets can also react to smoke in the room, or they eat the roach that you drop, maybe some bud on the table. Vets have been asking the government, we've talked about this in the past, to allow them to prescribe cannabis products themselves for pets so that it's safer. And it can be beneficial. Treats pain, seizures, anxiety, other disorders, just like it does for the rest of us.
Eating the roach?
Yeah, leftover.
Leftover roach. Yeah, this is just like, just keep this stuff away. How hard is this?
Yeah, but you can see, you can just see the climate where, you know, some full-on pothead is at home and is high, doesn't realize they left the brownies out, doesn't realize they left maybe something on the ground that a dog, you know, sometimes some dogs, they eat everything. They poop on the lawn. They're going to eat if they come across weed that smells attractive to them.
Jay and I had a tin of Quality Streets yesterday. We didn't eat the whole thing, but I made sure this afternoon when I left for work that the lid was on it,
right?
Because we had left it out so that the dog wouldn't get into it. This is like a no-brainer.
Yeah, but maybe last night when you were three bottles of wine in, you didn't notice the Quality Streets were on, sitting next to the table, and your dog eats everything off the table.
It's a very specific number. Were you there?
Did you listen to the podcast?
Oh, I've heard the stories.
What's going on with SNL?
Oh, this story, too. Just days after NBC announced Shane Gillis would be joining Saturday Night Live. Imagine that. I'm on Saturday Night Live. I've made it. 45th season. You're fired. It's over some past derogatory and racist remarks he made on his podcast. SNL creator, Canadian, Lorne Michaels, says we're not aware of his prior remarks that had surfaced. The language he used is offensive, it's hurtful, unacceptable. We're sorry that we did not see these clips earlier, that our vetting process, yeah, was not up to our standard. Gillis was recording, he's recorded, mocking Asian accents, making anti-gay comments, stereotype Muslims. He responded with, I'm a comedian who pushes boundaries. I sometimes miss. If you go through my 10 years, most of it's bad. You're not going to find, you're going to find a lot of misses. I'm trying to be the best comedian I can be, and sometimes that requires risk. Author Roxanne Gay responded with, it's not risky to be racist, it's boring. The material wasn't even funny. Apologize for that.
Yikes.
I mean, it is what it is. Whatever he said when trying to be humorous, fine. You judge that. But there is an aspect of you made it to SNL and you're gone immediately. But there's the vetting process, right?
Yeah, but I mean, listen, I think he makes an interesting point. I'm not saying I agree with it, but an interesting point that comedians do need to be a little bit more edgy. You know, we're not talking about somebody who was applying for a political job. We're talking about a comedian. You know what you're getting. Mm. Sometimes they do miss the mark. There's some things that Dave Chappelle has said and people that he makes fun of that you'd think, okay, does he get a pass because he's Dave Chappelle? I'm not sure.
No, Michael Richards didn't get a pass.
Sure.
No, I agree. Even Tucker, watching Tucker, one of his on Netflix, there's things he says and you're kind of like, okay, that may be stepping a little bit too far, but different standards, I don't know.
Also, who didn't Google this guy? At SNL.
So, what, do you just walk in and say, hey, I'm funny?
this guy's great.
They said he killed his audition, so maybe they did so well, they were like, forget it, we're just going to hire him.
Let's end, even though it's September, with a little hockey talk.
Yep, odds makers are out. NHL regular season, Tampa Bay Lightning, best odds, winning the Stanley Cup 7-1. Maple Leafs tied for second with the Golden Knights, 12-1 odds. The Leafs will win it. The worst, the Senators, 150-1.
12-1, some value there, if you're a Leafs fan.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
That's decent, 12-1. I don't think they're going to win the Stanley Cup, but there you go.
Who's your pick?
I don't know if I have one right now. I'm kind of in a wait and see. I haven't really had enough opportunity. I've been so geared up for this football season that I haven't had enough chance to see what's shaken down in NHL free agency. But thank you for asking me.
Get back to us.
Yeah, I'll take some copious notes over the weekend and make sure I give you a detailed report. Dave McKee with his views on the news, always a pleasure.
When we come back, tourism on the way up, rising 13% in 1 year here in Canada. However, it's not the kind of tourism we want. More on that when the rush continues.